Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
That's right. Let's go for a little run in the woods on this lovely, lovely, sunny, hot day.
Yes.
It's a hot day.
Really getting in the habit of running out every, not just on hot days, but on hot days at lunchtime.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of... It is the midday heat, isn't it? Mad dogs. An Englishman.
But, you know, I think we were talking about this. I think we should come clean. We had a lovely run yesterday, but that run is entirely secret.
Yes.
Five miles on Hampstead.
Lovely run record. So eloquent.
I mean, so much wisdom. But I think fate will...
Too good for this world.
Yeah, you don't deserve to hear it.
Yeah.
So
and the recorder's messed up. So
yeah, that too.
That's another reason as well.
But something we were saying right at the end of yesterday, or at some point yesterday, anything that... It's apologies to you, Paul, for anything we say today that we said yesterday.
No, it's all good. Don't worry about that.
But I didn't used to... I used to worry about running in the heat. But the trick is, of course... Slow down.
Yeah.
And then it's great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Because it's just, it's all about the physics of it, isn't it? It's the same as running up a hill. You've just got to find a lower gear.
It should be a little bit nicer.
Obviously you've got to hydrate.
It should be a little bit nicer because your muscles are just naturally warmer and
yeah,
a bit more loose. A bit more loosey-goosey.
Yeah, I think the only thing, the real danger, I mean, obviously there's danger of... So heat stroke and sunburn, but these are just the dangers of being outside in the sun.
Yeah.
The danger of actually running is one, hydration.
Yeah.
And two, expecting yourself to be able to do exactly what you could do if it wasn't hot.
Yeah.
You've got to accept that it's different.
Yes.
I think that's how people get themselves into difficulties in the heat.
Yeah, nice and slow. Take loads of water if and when you need it. And enjoy it. Yeah, I've always been a fan.
I did a run years ago, and it was a hot day. I think it was a Hackney half marathon, but a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they said, sip to thirst.
Right.
But they didn't just say sip to thirst. They said it about 1,000 times.
Right.
So sip to thirst.
Sip to thirst.
Sip to thirst.
Yeah.
Sip to thirst. So in the end, it just meant nothing. So sip to thirst.
A little bit often. Is often the best, isn't it, when you're running?
Well, isn't that true in all walks of life?
And this is a nice shade of Parkland waves you run up. Yeah, I'm a little bit...
Yeah, I'm worried about you because you were saying you've been running every second day.
Yeah, it's all right. No, this is fine. I'm just a little bit stodgy, full and rubbishy because I had a gig last night.
Right, where was that?
It was in Bedford.
Right.
So it wasn't too far away.
We didn't even have to get up.
I was on last.
Oh, Bedford, sorry.
Yeah. And then it just ended up just having a bit of a petrol station scoff on the way back.
Oh my goodness! It must have been
pure.
Did it feel like 1998?
Pure tiredness. Just pure tiredness. There was a diversion. I was going to get home really quickly, and then there was a diversion right near the end at St Albans.
Yeah.
Just a bit of a sting in its tail, but it was a really, really nice gig.
Yeah, good.
Just a really nice gig. It made me realise there's not many gigs happening,
yeah.
But I can still retain the ability, as I'm sure you would, to do well at a nice gig that you're closing.
Yeah.
You can still storm those because you've done it so many times.
Well, I think we have to let go of the idea.
Do you see?
Through. Oh, no.
That was all Theroux.
Louis or Marcel?
Louis Theroux.
You sure it wasn't Marcel? Very similar.
And, and it was... Yeah, you've done it so many times, you just get in your own last. It's darker than it has been for all the other gigs.
Yeah.
For all the other people, so... The evening progressively comes into focus as you end up on stage.
And that's lovely.
And it's really, really stormable.
Yeah.
And as a result, extremely pleasurable.
That's lovely. Well, I think that you're right. I think we need to really let go. I mean, all comedians, particularly us with our long teeth.
Yes.
The sense that we need to be on stage 20 minutes every 48 hours or we'll lose our match fitness.
No, you just don't. No.
No.
It's... It is taking a while to come back is the ability to take a tough gig and make it better.
That's
the thing that I have lost initially. It's just that, you know, you go on stage and there's 30 in and there's a couple rowdy at the back and there's not much focus.
Yeah, just sort of catch that ball and turn it into something.
Yeah, that ability to juggle four or five things in your mind.
Is it all just chops or is some of it just that you can't be bothered?
I think it's a combination of both. There's a bit of chops and there's also that... Yeah, there is a bit of like, I don't know where I can be arsed with this at this moment. But that's not a professional attitude.
Oh.
That's not to be encouraged. But
you're saying about the, it's nice the idea of that when it gets dark and everything, it's positively Shakespearean, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be beautiful outdoor gigs. And there was loads of mosquitoes.
Yeah.
So I did some great input at the top, Rob, about mosquitoes checking out people's different vaccines.
Oh.
Checking out the AstraZeneca vaccine and the Pfizer jabs. And
nice.
They loved it. It was of the moment.
Yeah, it's great.
I played Madame Moment beautifully.
Oh.
So that was a laugh.
Nice.
And, just good to exercise that muscle.
Something about
a bit.
Bites.
Yeah.
No, I just haven't got it. Just haven't got the improv there.
You've been bitten. Look out, it's dangerous. But, so good fun. And then... Rudy was out after the night waiting up for him. I didn't really sleep much, to be honest. It was a bit of a chaotic evening.
Well, you've got to be careful with that. I don't want to be hurting you. Because you were saying, I think you've got football again today, and your first football was last week. And, how was it?
Yeah, it was really good fun, actually. I really enjoyed it. Was worried that I'd end up getting injured. Didn't get injured. If anything, I think it might help my running.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of... It makes me think about my core a bit more and stretching.
Yeah.
And so it forcing me to do stuff.
Well, I think we were talking last week, and you were saying about sort of resetting in this way, about how good three-dimensional training is.
Yes.
Not just different speeds and distances, but also different disciplines, different exercises.
Yes.
And just generally, particularly as we get older, and I don't think, I'm not talking about aging here, I'm talking about repetition more.
Yeah.
Is what we need to play for elasticity.
Yeah. Use different kinds of muscles. Different way. But not only that. I still have it.
Yeah.
Still have the touch. Little touch and go. Pass some moves. Within 15 minutes, I was shouting at everyone, annoying them.
Yeah.
You could tell I was all immediately too competitive for what had been a hitherto quite gentle game. You know? I've already affected the balance massively. So that's good fun. Yeah.
Even more fun when you play with adults next week.
Yeah.
Just been out there bellowing at 9-year-olds. Come on!
So,
but is it that thing about rigidity was something I was thinking about the other day. Because I really want to be objective about this. I think it's funny with the 16 weeks out to London Marathon, how people are talking about training plans.
Yeah.
Quite rightly, you know, it's nice to give your life that kind of framework. But of course, I always fly my own flag, you know. I'll look at someone's training plan, think about it a bit.
Yeah.
And then go away and make one up, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I'm not really comfortable with that. But I do think that for everyone, the thing to be careful of, kind of at every level, comedy gigs, training plans, running, yoga... It's rigidity.
Over rigidity.
You don't want to lock into any kind of position, whether it's a social position, a yoga position, or a running schedule, because you're setting yourself up to fail. You know, whether you, whether your body's sending you messages saying, don't do this, it's going to hurt, and you still do it, or that will hurt you physically, or the opposite, if you're kind of like following your training schedule to the letter and it's going great, and then for whatever reason, you don't make one particular beat in the schedule, that can break your spirit or be really scary.
Yeah, it's kind of
important to stay loose.
Yeah, I think, so. I mean, it's getting the balance, isn't it? Because obviously if you want to run a decent marathon,
you've got to train.
You need solid training.
Yeah, and it has to have a logical shape, so that's...
And you've got your steady, you've got your hardy perennials, you've got your long run.
Well, yeah, you've got to put some Vaseline on those, obviously.
Yeah. You've got your long run every week. You've got your threshold runs and stuff. And some people need rigidity because they sort of lack a bit of experience or it. Do you know what I mean? Some people like it hard and long. But it's just something you've just got to get your hands around.
You've got to get head around.
You just got to bob into it.
Anyway.
Back to running.
Looking back, it all went wrong when you said hardy perennials. Filth.
Basically, do what you want. Yeah. You got 26 miles to run in 16 weeks.
Absolutely right. You can't be blasé.
Yeah.
And we know from watching celebrities and people in general, because everyone knows someone who's run a marathon. And in a way, this is of less concern to us in our community because there's a lot of keen runners.
Yeah.
But... it's something about the fact that everyone's done a marathon, or everyone knows someone who's done a marathon, in the same way it seems like everyone you know can drive. It can be absolutely amazing when it comes time to do it and you realise how difficult it is.
Oh, yeah, it's still blooming difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Please
don't think
small
I don't mean
feet.
You need a training plan. I just think we should always build elasticity into all our plans.
Yeah.
For goodness sake, have a plan.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, my plan is to build up to a high mileage week.
Yeah.
And doing that mainly adding the miles.
Sort of 3 weeks on, 1 week lower sort of schedule.
Yeah, I kind of scheduled it out so it runs. It runs up three times to till the beginning of October, and sits nicely around my 10k. And oh, nice shoes!
They are nice, aren't they? Yeah,
they're new, aren't they?
They are nice. They're nice. Not only are they new, they're also the best types of shoes because they're free shoes.
Yay!
They're free shoes from the free people.
See, I only need two.
But they
more great comedy there.
They are. They're really supportive. I can't tell you what the name is. They're very innovative.
Not 'cause he doesn't know. Oh, nice.
I can't tell you their names.
Chuck it in.
But they're lovely. They're meant to be sort of ultra trail shoes. It's a prototype. I'm testing them. I can't talk about it. And I'm really enjoying
nice
it.
Colours.
They're nice colours. Yeah, they look pretty snazzy, don't they?
I really want some new shoes, and I too love free shoes, but it doesn't matter if they're not right, you know. My feet
really?
Are so fussy.
And see, I'd wear wrong shoes if they were free.
I know.
Yeah.
So tell me about the various injuries you've had again.
Yeah.
I just can't get on with them, and it's such a shame. Talking of unnamed brands, I've got three absolutely beautiful pairs of shoes that were given to me by one great brand.
They're nice, aren't they?
No, they're not.
Nice.
No, they're not. They did provide me, though, with a special, you know, a really novel way of keeping myself upright.
All right, okay.
Not an old fall over, but you see what I'm saying?
No. You're going to have to be a lot more
then
simpler.
He's got it.
You're going to be a lot simpler. Just change one letter.
Answers that's on the that's postcard.
Yeah. That's a...
they're lovely shoes. So I don't want to diss them. They just don't fit my, you know, feet.
Yeah.
And I really like what I've got, which is Nike Zoom Structure 22. And I don't know when they stopped making them. Shall we say, you know, 5 years plus ago.
Right.
But I've been tracking down the last pair on the internet every time I need a new pair.
That's a classic requirement for any training shoe, isn't it? Got to fit your feet.
Yes.
They have to fit your feet.
Well, I think that it's really telling. It's a story worth going back to, that Michelle very sensibly had a pair of shoes that were theoretically exactly the same as her shoes.
Yeah.
And she was going to rotate them to let the yes. so that she wasn't abusing a pair too much, and they got her through the 10 marathons.
Yeah, yeah.
But the second pair of shoes let her down and led to problems all week long, and it's theoretically exactly the same. And on the other hand, you forget when you've been getting it right.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I got a really good pair of shoes. You know, and obviously in recent couple of years, the conversation about really fancy shoes has kind of gone off the scale with Vaporflies and professionals.
Absolutely,
and everything.
Yeah.
But I remember the first time I put on a pair of shoes that were really soft and almost barefooty, but yet gave me really good support in the heel.
It's a great feeling.
And honestly, yeah. my running, it was this, I felt like I'd been turbocharged.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember
yeah.
I was running in Brighton, I went off along the seafront there. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you find a good pair of shoes, it's like first love, isn't it? Don't let them go.
Yeah.
Keep them close, but not too close. Yeah. If you love them, set them free. If they return, they're yours.
I know why she left you.
Yeah. yeah. Keep them in the cupboard under the stairs. Yeah. Don't leave them on the radiator overnight.
Right. Yeah. This analogy is disastrous. Analogy is another good brand.
Yeah, they're great. Reebok Analogy. So we're coming through into Parkland Way, into the woods, into Queens Woods.
This is where those lovely... Did I ever tell you, you know, do you remember the wood anemones here across here?
Yeah.
And we were wondering if the protest people had planted them.
Yeah.
But I found out from Garden as well that wood anemones take a long time to spread like that.
Right.
So that little ephemeral carpet of wood anemones you get there, it has been there for years, isn't
yeah,
it lovely?
Yeah.
I have to keep an eye out on it for next year. Don't trip.
No tripping in this bit, very trepidation. And so how did your... You had a storytelling gig, didn't you?
I did.
How did that go?
I went was it to... Right? It was absolutely wonderful, actually. I mean, it's all part of this Dune business.
Yeah.
Went out down to East London on a warm June evening.
Yeah.
Not carrying a guitar or anything. Not carrying... the responsibility of having to get laughs.
Yeah, yes.
And I went on stage at this gig. The gigs are one-track minds.
Right.
And everyone tells a story, and then it kind of leads to a song that changed their life, or at least was a moment in their life.
So perfect fitting with your book, then? Really.
Yeah, it really fits in my book. And I kind of started, and that bookended. Bookended!
Yeah.
And what I was doing, because I went away from that and came back to it. Because... I thought, yeah, that's just like my book, because it's stories and a song.
Yeah.
And I said that to them. I said, but this story isn't about that. But the song is fantastic for running.
Yes.
And I told the story, but then... do you want to... Shall I tell you the story?
Yeah, go tell us a story. Why not?
I'll keep it brief. Basically, I wanted to tell a story... Okay, what are they? I said I've been on tour.
Yeah.
Until last year, like last January, I was a comedian for 20 years.
Yeah.
And before that, in my job before, I'd been on tour since 1993. So I was on tour from 1993 until lockdown.
Yeah.
And this is
long
what
time.
I loved, staying home and watching classic films with my kids, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, I wanted to, inspired by the fact that my son's just taken his GCSEs, I thought about my dad and what happened when I'd just done mine.
Yeah.
And also I wanted to tell a story about my dad that didn't end in pain or shame for him.
Yes, a bit more celebratory.
Yeah, because all our favourite stories about my dad all end up with him going, blah!
Like the Homer Simpson of it.
Exactly, which he was banging too. He could handle it, you know.
Yeah.
We'd laugh and laugh at his expense. Like the time when he kicked the stone in the road, but it was part of the road. Or when he bit into the pickled onion that was basically just the raw onion.
Right.
All the time he said, our next door neighbours are called Patrick and Libby, and he saw them in the dark and he said, hello Libby, who's your hobbling friend?
Yeah.
And it wasn't Patrick, who'd had a little accent, it was a stranger with a lifelong disability.
Oh. Awkward!
God, I've never seen anyone, both on the onion one and the embarrassing one, I remember how red my dad's face was and how his eyes filled with water. No sympathy, just laughed in his face. Anyway, I don't want to tell those stories. Oh no, I just did. it was a strange thing, phenomena, thank you, that occurred in my young life. Started summer of my GCSEs. Me and my best friend, after GCSEs, had this brilliant trip planned where we went to Paris. And just after GCSEs, because he had a cool uncle who lived right in the middle of Paris.
Nice.
And The Cure were playing, so we were going to go and watch them.
Fantastic.
And only span in the works there was that just before he went, he started going out with a girl I was in deep, very teenage, unrequited love with.
Ooh. That's painful, isn't it?
Yeah, that was...
That's a knife that's going to twist every time you see him, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's a lack of emotional literacy that happened. Yeah. Yeah, let's go anyway. I'm fine. It's fine. I'm actually really pleased about it. Yeah, great. Good, great. It's going to be great. It's great. Looking
good
forward
luck
to it.
Great. I hope it works out. That's great.
Yeah. I just want to see you both happy.
Yeah.
Shut up. Yeah. Anyway, so... We went to Paris, and also...
Unfortunately, he fell in the river while we were there.
Oh, mate! Yeah. I just wanted you to be happy. Yeah. 1989, right? July the 14th, 1989, we were there. That's Bastille Day.
Right.
Not just any Bastille Day, but 1989, 200 years of France. As it is
Big
being
do, yeah.
celebrated while we were there.
Big do.
Big do.
Yeah.
Which... I again was precluded a little bit because on July the 13th, I drank a load of vodka in a park with strangers. And
was it in reaction to your mate and this girl, maybe, or some sort of...
I didn't think it was.
Residual. Yeah.
I think I just thought I was being clever and grown up.
Yeah. A little bit Parisian. This is what they do in Paris.
Yeah, this is what they do. It says before being sick inside the taxi door.
This is what all the poets did. Yeah.
Oh, disastrous. So on the day, they had this big, it was quite a big do, as you say. There's planes flying over our little flat and then over the Arc de Triomphe. And my friend's cool uncle saying I looked exactly like George Bush Sr. because he was just looking vaguely gormless and statesmanlike.
Yeah.
And I was looking
not
desperate
getting it
and ashamed.
At all. Yeah.
The only difference is he didn't have a bucket next to his chair.
Yeah.
Anyway, my dad's not even in his chair. It's going to take me a while, isn't it? Look at the woods.
Beautiful.
My dad was on business in Paris the self-same week, which was a fantastic bit of luck.
Yeah, that's great.
Because he wasn't like a famously business traveller or anything. Anyway, he said he'd take me and my friend out to dinner. And he did, and it was nice, and we were, of course, all cool, you know. I mean, it was the next day, I was still hungover, so I was fronting it out like a good one. But when I saw him, I was like, oh, I'm so pleased to see my dad.
Just
I wanted
nice.
Him to take me home.
Just a lovely coincidence.
Yes. And then, look at that, how muddy that dog's
yeah.
is.
Yeah, that's great. Need a bath. All right, mate, good to see you, man.
Can I get
well played on the golf.
Legs? Is that all right?
I heard you storming it on the golf. Your lad was saying the other day, yeah. Fantastic.
Like
good for you, man. That's great.
That's brilliant.
Now we had him round for the football. It was good fun. We had a good little party. Yeah, why not? It's that kind of weather, isn't it? Yeah, it's to be enjoyed, isn't it?
Not necessarily running weather, I'm sure.
See you later, man. Take care.
See you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, took us out for a meal, sent to Paris.
Yeah.
Ordered the Coquille Saint-Jacques, which is, that's what my dad had.
Oh, yeah.
And don't know if you've had it, but it's a shellfish dish. And my dad didn't know that. He assumed it was something with chicken.
Just lording it in Paris. Yeah.
So it was embarrassing. Yeah, anyway.
Coquille Saint-Jean.
And then...
Monsieur Simon.
Oh, Louis. Oh, ben pas de poulet. Oh, that's my dad. Pas de poulet.
Femme à la bouche.
Merde. Yeah, so that's 1989. Autumn 1993.
Yeah.
I was on this first tour with the theatre company. Touring around Holland and Belgium, had a fantastic time. Turned 21 while I was out there, you know, so it puts you at the point in life. So exciting. My dad came to the Netherlands on business.
Yeah.
And I met him for dinner in Nijmegen. I mean...
Nice.
That's just... I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lovely.
He
lovely.
Was in sales admin.
Just there so, when you needed him sort of thing.
Yeah, and I drove a long way to see him. He was just there. He was quite far away.
Right. Okay.
I did this kind of 250-kilometre round trip down these motorways. Yeah, I can handle it.
Yeah.
And so again, you know, we didn't, even though there was no friend there this time, it wasn't like we said, oh, I'm so pleased to see you, I love you, and hugged. Don't do it. We didn't do any of that, you know. But it was all there.
But still quite a, we'll go left on it. It was still quite a big, that's a big move to drive 250 kilometres to see your dad though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I know, I don't know how far he had to come, but I know he got quite lost, so it was a big commitment from him as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I was so excellent. Just, I think, I say it's a funny thing that we didn't sort of express our love in kind of any kind of voluble way, but it, like you say, the kind of geography of it makes the point, doesn't it?
Yeah, just the fact you've done that.
Yeah, and we're there together kind of in this bubble of
the fact that you didn't speak much when you got together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you had a massive row.
Yeah.
No, we were obviously pleased to see each other. You just talk about books and films and music. I mean, it's tough enough for my dad, because with me, he couldn't talk about football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a real learning curve for him, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, this, don't get me wrong, this story doesn't go on forever, there's only one more of these, but I got back off that tour, went to Edinburgh Festival, thought Edinburgh was fantastic, moved to Edinburgh, right?
Yeah.
And it was brilliant in the end. That's where I sort of became a comedian and made some really good friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I was first there, I was just lonely and poor, basically.
Yeah. And just on your own in
that
Edinburgh.
January, my dad found himself in Edinburgh on business. So, and it's only now I'm thinking, now there's almost something slightly suspect about this stuff, because he was in sales admin and mainly worked in Reading. So either
and he just kept rocking.
Maybe
up.
It was just lucky chance, but either that, or maybe he was a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Or maybe my mum set him up. Check up on me in such a way that I wouldn't notice. And I didn't notice until now.
But he kind of was just there sort of when you needed him, just
without
soft landings in different
places.
And we
know from being parents, if you say, are you okay, can I help?
Yeah.
To your kids, they're like, no, leave me alone.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so just
but
turning
up. But you
seem
to have that ability of just turning up sort of.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's lovely, yeah.
And, well, I mean, it's sort of... When he came to Edinburgh, we were so pleased to see each other. And yet, we were really excited because we were going to the cinema. So, totally happy to spend 3 hours together and spend two of them
not Let's talking. Meet up and not speak, Paradox of the cinema date.
Yeah.
It's been ages to watch a movie. But having said that, it's a choice of the film that you make together to watch, isn't it? You're sharing something through the watching of it, and then you little chat afterwards. You're expressing who you are.
No,
yeah,
exactly. Well, it was. And we were genuinely excited, and this is really similar to me. And you know, recently in my family, we've talked about Oscar films and really been digging into the kind of cultural conversation about contemporary film. You know.
Yeah.
And that's the same back in Edinburgh. Me and my dad were really excited to see Shallow Grave. Everyone was talking about.
I remember Shallow Grave, yeah.
Danny Boyle was
that was a big
film.
Yeah.
Came before.
A lot of people. There was a lot of chat about it, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think that Shallow Grave to Trainspotting was kind of the British equivalent of Tarantino turning up and doing Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction.
Yes, you know? Yeah.
And and we loved it. I mean, it was absolutely great. And so the funny thing about it was that I loved the beginning of it so much, which is like a metaphor. It wasn't that the film wasn't great, but I was so excited to be there, and this incredible music by Left Field, who I of course loved, and this really exciting titles, and all in Edinburgh, which I just moved to. I mean, I'd literally just moved to the new town.
Yes, perfect.
And the titles is that camera whizzing through the new town. I just, you know, it just gave me an absolute rush. And the rest of the film was good too.
That feel was the tune.
That feel was the tune. Yeah. So, but yeah, because I don't know if you know the theme from Shallowgate. The funny thing is, it's not very, you know, folky or meaningful or something to do with the lyrics.
Yeah, it's about
just a banging running
tune. Beat, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, we walked back across town, like you say, really talking about the film. And then the next day he was gone. And now that he's properly gone.
Yeah.
I'm just quite belatedly noticing how brilliant it was, that kind of early flush of international support.
Yes, of course.
As I was kind of becoming the grown-up I was going to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, actually, when you think about it, it's much more like one of the stories from my book than you'd think, because it's a moment in time.
Yeah.
It's a great running tune.
Yes.
And on the one hand, if you swap that camera shot of Edinburgh for a run, the principle is basically the same.
Yeah,
but on the other hand, my dad, it's all over my book.
Yeah.
Which you didn't realise was going to be the case when I started writing it, but of course.
We've got, have you sort of associate music with runs? I imagine not every tune is necessarily a story, but it's a distillation of a moment and loads of feelings that you're having at the time. And
that's right. I mean, that's what
music does,
is,
isn't it? Yeah.
It just kind of draws a line under it, doesn't it? Well, I think in a way, if you've got a song that you feel like tells your story in the lyrics, or someone gives to you to talk to you on their behalf, like a poem,
yeah,
that's a different principle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit more declarative, isn't it?
Whereas just the fact you can just hear a song completely by accident, you could hear a rubbish song completely by accident at a key moment,
and if it's just a big banging beat of a thing, it's, I don't mean to be too pretentious, but it's pointing to a feeling beyond words.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think ultimately that's the beauty of music, you know?
Yeah.
With narrative. And indeed, running has this too. You know, as humans, we're always looking for sense. With narrative, like stories of all kinds, poems, songs, films, EastEnders, you're looking for
for meaning.
And a meaning, and then for that to lead to emotion.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing about a piece of music or a run is it can lead to emotions without narrative.
Yeah, yeah, not, yeah, emotions not necessarily connected to stories. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, not to happy endings or sad things, just a feeling, pure feeling.
Although, like a marathon is a story, isn't it? There's always the story.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Of the marathon.
Oh, completely.
And the training is part of the story as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just
that
journey of it.
And that's also the wonderful thing about a runner's, you know, every run is a little story, and while you're on it, it's a huge story.
Yeah.
And then it's gone, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you write a load and put them in a book.
Yeah.
Available August the 5th.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was, it was really nice telling that story, and like you say, I think the principle of their show is great. I mean, it's basically like a group therapy version of Desert Island Discs, you know?
Yeah. And with like four or five different people.
Yeah, that's right,
on the bill.
Exactly.
That's nice.
And the audience, they know the form and they're really nice and giving. I was sort of saying, it's good that I don't have to get laughs, but I got some laughs.
Yeah.
But as you can hear, it's not, I'm not going to be doing it in the middle of Jungler's Nottingham anytime soon.
No, you're bound to get some, but it's also a nice retooling of the Desert Islanders framework, because
retooling
often they struggle to get five records, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Around the third or fourth choice, you start to get a bit the connection starts to get a bit nebulous.
Yeah, it really depends on the individual's relationship to music, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you get someone who's absolutely fascinating life, in fact, it's often people who are kind of literally too busy working for the UN to have an interesting music.
Yeah, they're not that. You can sense that they're not that connected to it.
Yeah. And sometimes that can be absolutely fantastic. It can be like, when I met the Pope, we had some Buck's Fizz.
Yeah.
So here's Buck's Fizz. Yeah. Making you know, it's
my kids like Coldplay.
Yeah. So
that sounds good. Well, that's a nice little...
Thanks for asking.
Nice little toe dip back into performance, isn't it?
Yeah, and the nice thing about it was that after that, you know, something was unlocked and I started thinking of material, you know, just jokes, stand-up-y stuff.
Yeah.
But just much more open, just that feeling of being on stage kind of asks the question and your subconscious starts answering.
Yeah, it opens you up again.
What would I say?
Yeah, it opens you up, definitely.
Because I have got gigs coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the socials, I feel quite behind the curve, but looking at my diary, it's going to start happening, you know.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
Yeah, it was. It's nice to have a good one last night. Just remember what it's like.
If anything, you
realise how tiring it still is, though, because you're not being able to sleep, not only because you're waiting for your kids to come back and it's half two in the morning, but you're still buzzing with ideas from the gig.
It's going to
take a while to... When you only gig once every 7 days, whatever, it's like a bungee jump. You still get that real excitement.
Yeah, it's going to give you a hit on it. And also, I was thinking back to what you said about having good ones and being ready for difficult ones.
Yeah.
I think part of that is recognising the power of having a good one.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that it's, we can rate it a naught and set it as the bar, but it's not nothing.
No.
You need everything to fall into place, and you need skills and experience and stuff.
Yeah. I can... But that's what sort of... The evening has... You know, I've stories through. The evening has a natural end.
Yeah.
When you're on last, you are the natural end, and we know the structure. You could put a weaker act on last, who'd probably go down just as well or better than the second act, who might be better because of expectation.
Or if they're inexperienced, the only reason they might not enjoy it as much would be from putting... They wouldn't realise that the pressure they put on it would come for themselves.
Yes, totally.
The audience would expect to have
a good time. They naturally expect you to be better when you're on last.
Plus, they've all had 8 drinks.
Yeah, they can barely register. They're barely conscious. So they'll just laugh at any old nonsense.
I'm going off to the latest. I was doing a gig in Keswick after me and Lloyd Langford, I think, spent the day walking. You know, we did 2 walks, went up a mountain and went up a river in the sun. It was absolutely wonderful. We got to the gig. Really enjoyed it, but I was like, God, I feel a bit fuzzy-headed and not completely, you know, on top of my timing and everything. But it's a fun gig. Everyone seems very relaxed. But anyway, like I say, I was taking all the responsibility for that. I met the audience afterwards, and they couldn't speak. How did you sit? How were you getting the jokes?
Fog.
It's incredible. It's going to be good to get back in the country.
Basic sounds.
So... Something we talked about yesterday and we really need to get to is, are we going to do this Golden Stag Mile?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
I think we should.
Good.
And before we do it, try the third.
Fourth. No, third, you're right.
Third.
Yeah.
So, London Heathside. If anyone's around.
Finsbury Park track, 4 in the afternoon.
Finsbury Park track, 4 laps. 4 laps for your mile, your classic mile. We'll be looking for...
Four laps for your mile.
Can we get it? People still
laughing
endlessly. Stop! I haven't got to the end yet. We'll be looking for... I'll be looking for something under 6 minutes if my calf can stand it.
Yeah.
And I think we're talking about maybe doing the same.
I like the idea of that, but it's you who've seen me doing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you can do that.
I think last time you saw watching me run a fast mile, I ran in 6 minutes, but I've run a lot of as fast as I can miles that came in much closer to 7 since then. But often from a standing start.
Yeah, and also then you've got the track, you've got the adrenaline.
Got the vapor flies.
It's a different...
Got the small car.
Yeah, it's a different... It's a radically different experience just running one off.
So if we do enter it as 6 minutes, and then we run it in 6.5, would we look like a right pair of goons?
Yeah.
Great.
At the back there, Deering and Tonkinson, embarrassing themselves and everyone.
How many have we done? One, Rob.
No, it's... I'm in distress. It's... Please feel free if you listen to this around the North London area.
Yeah, it'd be good
to enter the race. It's a classic race. A lot of
also,
fun.
If it's on Finsbury Park track, that is where I turned up in full lycra, did all my stretches, and then came last in the dad's race.
Right. So there's a chance.
Legendary.
Chance to revisit that. Yeah. Yeah, that would be really good fun.
Also, it comes after a week in the mountains, and theoretically, on the same weekend, I was going to run 20 miles. One mile, in a way, would be easier than running 20 miles, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I was saying that I don't think it'll necessarily stop you from running 20 miles the next day.
Yeah.
If you just do a little warm-up, run a mile as fast as you can, and then do a little warm-down and do a bit of stretching.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be too knackered from that.
Well, all right.
But irregardless, it'll be a fun afternoon.
I've done some good not like, you know, into a fast run. I've actually done a bit less. I didn't do a fast 5K last week, but I did do a couple of runs where I went off quite fast anyway, and then sped up towards the end.
Nice.
Finding I can access that more and more, and also not just access it, but starting to do it slightly automatically. And we're talking subtle. I'm not saying I'm suddenly going 2 minutes faster. But if I do a 6 to 8 mile run and kind of get into the zone with it and listen to music and all that stuff, I'll generally, just as I warm up, speed up a little bit, you know?
Right.
Like a really hot one. Yeah, on Monday, I went out in the heat and took it as slow as I liked. But the last mile was still the fastest mile. It wasn't mile, just a few seconds faster than the one before,
that's
you
nice.
Know?
It's
a habit, good habit to get into.
Yeah, certainly. You remain in good shape.
Around the end of this week, depends how much mileage we're at kind of by the end of today, by Wednesday, but I'm thinking around the end of this week, particularly after the weather breaks, if it breaks, I might run 10, 13, I'd like to do half a marathon.
Right.
But I don't want to overdo my mileage for the week, because it might be a bit too much, but because I want to do it at a good pace, and then do the last three. Like, basically, I want to try make it like running to the park run back
right,
in the day.
Okay, yeah.
So I'd love to run
fairly gentle out there, and then
gentle 10, and then 3 miles back, exactly. So that's sensible, isn't it? That would be good.
I mean, on days like today, when the weather's like this, it's good fun to run every day, isn't it? If your body can at all handle it.
Again, it's one of those things, running every day. I used to be rigid in my not running every day.
Right.
I thought I'd injure myself, you know. And now I'll often run for 5-6 consecutive days. But when people are trying to run every day for a really long time, I want to know that they've got the elasticity to then say, no, it won't. You know, the trouble is that if you do it for, the longer you do it, the harder it is to not do it.
Of course, yeah. You're setting up that streak.
That's true of all kinds of things, though. I mean, we all do it. You know, you just getting into any kind of rhythm, you've got to be careful.
The only thing that's
to be able to break the
hardest rhythm. To do that is not boozing.
Oh, yeah.
Because after 2 or 3 days of not boozing, you can't wait to get on the booze again.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
It's like, yeah. I'm 2 days in.
Yeah, you can kind of see why people count that for a long time.
Yeah.
Also, summer's difficult with the boozing. Also, I think that the other day you went to the pub, which you never do.
I had a good pub drink, and then I had a bit of a session after the England-Croatia, which developed into...
Well, we're doing a drinking report here, Steve. We're just going to run the jingle.
Two bottles of Prosecco, afternoon in the sun, loads of kids and barbecue, and a really ill-judged Facebook video.
That's still up there, guys, if you want to check it out. If you want to see what it looks like inside Paul's fridge.
Some scar record.
And the midriffs of all your friends and family.
Yeah, a lazy camera pan around the kitchen before I zoom into a cupboard.
but
revealing my state of mind.
You can't really regret that. It must have been beautiful.
I know, it was really
friends, a win in the football.
Yeah.
A load of booze.
Yeah, it's... those summer afternoons are great, aren't they?
Yeah, we had friends over fairly impromptu on Saturday night and sat in the garden and just... You know, just shot the breeze. We've got like an ice bucket, and I filled it up with, it's like a camping one, it's like a oil drum, canvas oil drum thing. I just filled it up with beers and
thank him.
And Prosecco. And yeah, you think, I've got much too much there.
Yeah.
And then the four of you get the last ones out. See, those are done.
Get a bit scarce.
We'll head home.
Should we nip out again? No, so
it's so appropriate for the time of year.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So, whoo! So that was great.
Well, yeah,
that was really good fun.
And how
I really enjoyed it actually.
You're definitely coming back gently, you know, doing all the right things.
Yeah,
but you feel
that was,
okay.
That was
now.
Probably only a lazy three and a bit, was it? I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do some maths here, because I ran 2.6. I ran 6.25. So it's 3 something.
Right. Okay. That's fair enough. That's nice. So, enter if you're up for it, come with us to the Golden Stag.
join our race, have a little race.
Join our club.
We'll be hopefully in the under six club.
Well, we got a couple of. We're going to hoover up. We've got a couple of interesting and great PBs, but there's only a couple. So, any more, report in, and we'll catch up with those next week.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
That's assuming this recorded. If not, we'll get Tom Price and Eleanor Tiernan to go out tomorrow and do a do a. They're our backup rig, according to the internet.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.